Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and discussion of deaths in custody. This week is Subscriber Drive, Monday, February 9th to Sunday, February the 15th, 2026. It's really important that people subscribe to the station, as basically the radio station prioritises First Nations content and also truth-telling, people in prison and Australian music. Looks very much at climate change and alternative media that you wouldn't find anywhere else. And it's really important to subscribe to the station to actually encourage and make sure that this unique station continues. I'm going to actually be going into an announcement and then I will announce who is coming onto the show.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Over five decades, we've been home to hundreds of shows, thousands of broadcasters and guests, and hundreds of thousands of listeners.
This February, we're aiming for 1,000 subscribers.
It's just $40 concession, $80 full.
Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
You're listening to the Doing Time Show 3CR and it is Subscriber Week. And this is Marissa and I'll be taking you through for the first hour, for the hour. First up on the show, we'll be interviewing, we were going to be interviewing Alison Fuller and she is now unable to make it. Alison Fuller is a First Nations woman from Grandmothers Against Removal Victoria and we'll speak to her next week about her ongoing work and she wanted to look at treaty and truth-telling. So subscribe to 3CR, call 9419 8377, pick up the phone, $40 unwaged, $80 waged. Really important to be able to subscribe to the station. Next up on the show, we'll be speaking with David Glance, and he's from the Refugee Action Collective. We'll be speaking with him about the visit of one of the Palestinian ministers in Australia, in Sydney in particular, and about the fact that there is ongoing genocide against Palestine. The minister is actually from Israel and there are anti-protest laws coming into Sydney to try and stop people from protesting. So the show is going to be concentrating primarily on that today, and then after that we will speak with Ian Rintel. He is from the Refugee Action Coalition and he'll speak about the 5:30 action at the Town Hall. And we'll be also looking at lots of other issues as well.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
And you're back with the Do and Time Show, and it's Marissa, and it's approximately 4:04. I'm just going to be reading out a media release just to make things a little bit more concrete here and a bit clearer. So the media release was actually issued from Stop the War on Palestine, and it's entitled Cancel Herzog Tour, Defy the Police Intimidation. Stop the War on Palestine rejects police intimidation and threats of arrest against protesters at the rally opposing the Isaac Herzog visit on Monday 9th of February, 5:30 p.m. at the town hall. No amount of police threats change the fact that Isaac is a war criminal. We will be protesting whether Chris Minns or the police like it or not, said Stop the War on Palestine spokesperson Adam Adufa. The New South Wales Police and Minns are showing exactly why the anti-protest laws need to be defied. They are being used to protect Isaac, who has incited genocide according to the UN. He is the supreme representative of a genocidal state whose officials now admit it has slaughtered at least 70,000 Palestinians. Minns and the police should be threatening to arrest Herzog, not protesters, he continued. There is no law against static protests. The police commissioner's comments about potentially making arrests are a blatant attempt to intimidate Palestine supporters from attending the rally. We faced down previous attempts to intimidate us. We rallied at Town Hall on 16th January, and we will be back on Monday to take, which is today, to take a stand against genocide. He continued, Chris Minns is resorting to repression because he is losing the argument. The commissioner, Chris Sidiotti, is opposing the visit, and three state Labor MPs and other federal MPs have said they will join the rally. The Maritime Union of Australia has also come out in support of the protest and called for him to be arrested. Albanese and Minns are on the wrong side of history. The best answer to Herzog, the anti-protest laws and the police threats is to turn out in such big numbers that they can't ignore our right to march. So the Do and Time Show has had a long history of not only looking at prisoners' rights and women in prison and building the movement to stop Aboriginal deaths in custody, but it has also been instrumental in being a watchdog for anti-protest laws and for police powers in general, which is why I want today to focus on refugee and asylum seeker rights and being able to get some updates from both David and Ian, but also they will be calling just prior to both rallies. So there's one in Melbourne, I believe, protesting not just the anti-protest laws, but also in regards to the minister's visit from Israel. And there's also, I'll be speaking with David in Sydney as well. But in the meantime, while we are waiting for the interview to commence, I'm actually going to be playing an announcement and a song.
Forests are essential ecosystems, mitigating for climate breakdown, cooling the planet, and preserving the wondrous diversity of life. Yet, they are being destroyed at an alarming rate. Here in the Kulin Nations, logging continues, increasing risk of both fires and floods. The Bob Brown Foundation is calling a national day of action, the March in March for Forests. In Naam, join us on Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m. in Parliament Gardens to demand the protection for native forests. Go to marchforforests.org for all the details, including how to volunteer. March for Forests, Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m.
A 3CR supporter.
Thank you.
keffiyehs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white keffiyeh to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to keffiyehs.org.au. That's keffiyehs.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
I've been told it'll be alright. It don't matter if you get knocked down to suffer so much pain, as long as you can find the strength to get back up again. Get back up again. It is better to have tried and failed than never tried at all. For when that battle sounds, I will answer to the call. So many years in the drought without rain, but we must stand together to get back up again. Get back up again. Times you can go to the well, just so many lies a usurper can tell. I will bear my soul, for I've much more to gain. You can knock me off my feet, I will get back up again. Get back up again. Get back up.
And you're back with the Doin' Time show, and it's approximately 10 past four. You just heard a song by Kutcher Edwards, and it's called Get Back Up Again, and Don't I Know That Feeling. Anyway, we're going to be speaking now with David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective, and he's actually on his way to a rally, and I gave a little bit of an introduction at the beginning, but I'm just going to welcome David now to the program, and he will give us some more info. Hello, David. Welcome.
Hi, Marissa. Thanks for having me again.
It's so lovely to have you. Look, two things. Firstly, it's Subscriber Week, so we'll be speaking a little bit about Subscriber Week and why people need to subscribe to the radio station, specifically to the Doin' Time show as well. But I wanted to just ask you to explain to listeners and perhaps make it a bit clearer as to what's happening today with this particular rally. Why is it happening? And perhaps we could also talk about the upcoming forum and a few things about refugees and asylum seekers.
Absolutely. Well, t- today's rally is in Melbourne, in Naam, is outside Flinders Street Station at 5:30. And I'm just across the road at the moment, and there's people beginning to gather, but small numbers. We're well over an hour away from the official start, but I would expect thousands of people to converge on Flinders Street Station 5:30, 6 o'clock. And we're protesting. We're one of 28 protests around the country against the visit of the Israeli President Isaac Herzog. 28 protests, not just the capital cities, but even smaller places. So in Victoria, yes, it's Melbourne, it's Geelong, it's Bendigo, it's Ballarat, but it also, for instance, it's Benalla. And all around the country, it's a similar picture. People are going to come out onto the streets in very big numbers, in big cities and small towns, to say that Isaac Herzog should not be a welcome guest in Australia. He should have been arrested at the airport on arrival for war crimes. And it's an absolute disgrace that the Albanese government is making him welcome. This is the head of a state that has committed genocide for almost 2.5 years now.
Against Palestine.
Yes, against Palestine, against Gaza, but an increasingly significant attacks on Palestinians on the West Bank as well. And Herzog is here supposedly to give comfort to those who died, or the families of those who died at Bondi in December. But I think really it's very much a big diplomatic play to rebuild Israel's reputation in Australia. He'll also be going to some commercial and trade talks as well, events as well. So this is not a humanitarian mission. If it was, Isaac Herzog would be calling for an end to the slaughter in Gaza and the West Bank. This is an exercise in making genocide look good.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear this, to be honest with you. But now, in regards to the police powers here in Victoria, have there been any police powers for today's protest?
I'm not aware of
any
special measures. I'm expecting there to be a very large police presence, but the police did get a little bit of a bloody nose a few weeks ago when a number of people brought action saying that declaring a designated area in central Melbourne for 6 months was an overreach of police power. And the courts agreed with that. And that means that the police here are a little bit on the back foot, but I'm expecting very large numbers. I can see police on all the corners, and I would expect those numbers to only build up as the protest numbers build up as well.
And who are the speakers for this rally, David?
There's a number of speakers. I know Sarah Schwartz from the Jewish Council of Australia is speaking. Dave Ball, who is the Victorian, I think might be Assistant Secretary of the Maritime Union, here in Victoria. There's going to be another speaker from the Loud Jew Collective, and there will be, of course, Palestinian speakers as well. I know Mae Saif from Free Palestine Melbourne will be one of the speakers.
Absolutely. It's so important because really genocide is happening with so many movements. We've got Palestine, we've got First Nations people, we've got genocide, you know, even in regards to, you know, refugees and asylum seekers. I know that this rally is specifically about cancelling the president's visit, but I'm wondering if we could spend a little bit of time interconnecting those struggles.
Yes, for sure. And by the way, Herzog is already here. He's in Sydney.
Really?
As we speak. Yeah, he's at the Intercontinental Hotel, surrounded by barricades, by walls. There's a military operation going on in Sydney, including snipers on rooftops, presumably to threaten anybody holding a placard.
Indeed.
that has a particularly sharp slogan. But in terms of the interconnection between some of these things, Israel is clearly a colonial settler state. It's the basis on which Palestinians have been expelled from their land for a century now, not just since the foundation of Israel with the Nakba. Australia, too, is a colonial settler state. They're a little bit different. Every colonial settler state has different characteristics, but this country was built on the dispossession of Aboriginal people. And there's obviously a great affinity between First Nations people and the Palestinian struggle. And there have been, over the last 2.5 years, some very moving speeches by prominent Indigenous activists. Gary Foley speaks regularly, and they make common cause. They say that your land was stolen, our land was stolen, and we need to stick together against a system that treats everybody badly.
That's right. And 3CR, since 1976, right from the start, has prioritised progressive voices, First Nations issues, and alternative perspectives. Can you tell us why you think that people need to subscribe to 3CR and specifically the Doing Time show?
Well, I think 3CR gives a voice to people who would otherwise have no voice at all. The mainstream media either is not interested in the issues, concerns and the struggles of working class people, oppressed people, or they trivialise them, or they turn them into sound bites. And the fact that you and I can have this conversation for, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, that kind of opportunity is effectively not available in the mainstream media. So 3CR plays a particularly important role. And I can say from personal experience that the Doing Time show and yourself, Marissa, have been consistently an ally of movements against racism. I've spoken on your show many, many times on behalf of the Refugee Action Collective, and we've always had, we've always had informed, sensitive and thoughtful discussions about the impact of Australian government racism on people who have fled their homes. And so I think if you didn't exist, you would have to be invented. So I really would urge people to support your show.
Thank you so much, David. Now let's move on. That's so lovely that you've... And it's true anyway. I mean, this is a vital source, isn't it? It's a vital resource.
Mm. Yeah.
And of course, 3CR is non-profit as well. Now, let's move on to the forum, the upcoming forum that's coming up, and anything else that you'd like to, plug on 3CR?
Absolutely. Well, some listeners may already have heard the cart being played on 3CR promoting the forum that RAC is organising on Wednesday, the 25th of February. And thank you to 3CR for your support in making that cart and giving it airtime. It's much appreciated. We're organising a forum to bring together a whole wide range of people impacted by racism to discuss how we can begin to organise against One Nation, but also against the racism that is pushed by the major parties. The Labor One Nation, we know, is based on racism, but the Labor government uses a range of racist dog whistling in order to try and prop up its position. So we'll be talking about what's happening, who's in the gun, how we can organise, and we are going to have 9 speakers on the platform. We're going to have a refugee and a migrant. We're going to have a Jew and a Muslim. We're going to have a union secretary. We're going to have a Greens MP, a Green State MP, a Labor State MP, and I'm sure I've forgotten somebody really important. But there will be 9 speakers in all. And I think this is an opportunity to come together for people to share stories, share their anger, and share their views on how we take the next step forward. And it's a trades hall on Wednesday, the 25th of February at 6:30. It's, of course, a free meeting, and we encourage everybody to come along.
Thank you so much, David. It's so important. And what do you think at the moment? I mean, there are so many violations of human rights and cruel policies at the moment. But what do you think is something current that the Refugee Action Collective is working on at the moment for asylum seekers?
Well, I think we've got two things. One is, and we don't have a date for this yet, we're hoping to have a forum on the situation for refugees in Cox's Bazar, which is a gigantic refugee camp in Bangladesh, mostly populated by Rohingya, who have been driven out of Myanmar, the old Burma. And we are looking at holding a forum later this year with an international speaker. And we will obviously let you know about that nearer the time. And following the forum, 4 weeks after the forum, which I talked about, it is the United Nations International Day Against Racial Discrimination. From memory, I haven't got it checked in front of me, I think it's Saturday the 21st of March. Perfect. And we're going to be encouraging people to come out on the streets against deportations. Labour's deportations, Hanson's threatened deportations, and of course, Trump's deportations. So I think we will be uniting the struggle in Australia and the US because deportations are the weapons of bad governments, racist governments.
It is deeply concerning, deeply disturbing, I have to say, what has happened over the last 12 months in particular with politics, with racism, with the rise of the right wing. It has been an absolute disaster.
It certainly has, but there's also been pushback. The Palestinian movement has never left the streets, and I think that should give us all enormous hope. I think we're seeing all sorts of movements of resistance begin to flicker back into life because people know that if you don't fight, you lose. So the right is on the march, but the left has to be on the march too. And I think we've seen that with protests over refugees, protests over what's happening in America, protests over Palestine above all. So I really urge anybody who can, who's still in the area or can jump on a train or a tram, get down to Flinders Street. The rally starts at 5:30. I think in reality it won't really get going much before 6 o'clock. So you've got time to get down here and be part of that positive alternative.
Okay. Thank you very much. And just quickly, just in a couple of seconds, just let listeners know what's the rally about.
The rally is in opposition to the visit of the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog. He's in Sydney at the moment. He will be going to Canberra, and he will be in Melbourne on Thursday. And there will be a second rally on Thursday, 3 o'clock, at Southern Cross Station.
Thank you so much, David, and good luck with the rally. Make sure people rock up there. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was David Glance from the Refugee Action Collective speaking about a Melbourne-based rally in solidarity with what's happening in Sydney with the president of Israel, who is in Australia at the moment. And we'll be speaking pretty soon and continuing this very vital discussion with Ian Rintel from the Refugee Action Coalition very soon. But before we do that, just a message about subscribing to 3CR. Your membership helps us stay true to our community values, and 3CR is a not-for-profit community radio license holder, and a strong subscriber base is vital to financial and editorial independence. Pick up the phone and call 9419 8377, 9419 8377. $40 unwaged, $80 waged. And I believe there's also a solidarity price as well, if you can afford it. But every dollar counts, and it's really important that you subscribe to help us cover issues important to you, like public housing, First Nations justice, Community Languages, Advocacy for Palestine, Celebrating Queer and Trans Communities, and bringing you the best of local independent music. And specifically for the Do and Time show, if you subscribe, you are here for the prisoners. You are here for marginalised communities. You're here to support people who have been racially profiled, and you are here to stop colonisation and build the movement to stop Aboriginal deaths in custody.
Forests are essential ecosystems, mitigating for climate breakdown, cooling the planet, and preserving the wondrous diversity of life. Yet, they are being destroyed at an alarming rate. Here in the Kulin Nations, logging continues, increasing risk of both fires and floods. The Bob Brown Foundation is calling a national day of action, the March in March for Forests. In Naam, join us on Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m. in Parliament Gardens to demand the protection for native forests. Go to marchforforests.org for all the details, including how to volunteer. March for Forests, Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m.
A 3CR supporter.
And you're listening to the Do and Time Show 3CR, and this is Marissa. And I just had to play that announcement again. It's so important to support the forests and the animals. And it's approximately 4:31, and I'm going to be speaking with Ian Rintel pretty soon, and from Sydney, from the Refugee Action Coalition, and also he does wear other hats, and so I'll ask him how he wants to be seen today. But before we do that, I just wanted to encourage people to subscribe to 3CR, 94198377. Pick up the phone, $40 unwaged, $80 waged. We're going to be speaking with Ian very soon and having a continuation of a discussion that I was having with David Glance from the Refugee Action Collective. Hello, Ian. I'm delighted to welcome you to the program. Thank you so much.
No worries, Marissa. Yeah, nice to be here.
Lovely to have you. Now, Ian, I was just talking to David, who was actually on a train on the way to the rally in solidarity with what's happening in Sydney and the president of Israel coming here. Can you just talk to us about what's going on in Sydney and also look at the anti-protest laws as well, in particular for the visit?
Well, we're all just waiting right now for the court, the decision from the court about whether the special events powers were valid or not. It's not going to make a lot of difference to the rally at this stage. The police have said that an assembly in Town Hall will be lawful, but they do have extra move-on powers than would normally apply to a demonstration simply because they've also got other anti-protest laws that have declared the CBD area, what's it called, a public assembly restriction declaration. And that's restricted a huge chunk of the CBD, right through eastern suburbs, down to Bondi, where it's still lawful to assemble, but the police have extra powers to be able to, move people on. They would have had extraordinary powers. Well, at the moment, they have got extraordinary powers because there is an event declaration, but if the court strikes that down, they will nonetheless still have extra powers under the public assembly restriction, declaration anyway. So, look, I think thousands of people will be in Town Hall this afternoon. The police have already cut off the escalators at Town Hall, I'm told, in the railway station to try and slow down people coming out of the railway station into the square. So there's a good indication that we're going to have a very, very big rally to give Isaac Herzog the... Well, it's not a welcome he deserves. It's really a disgrace that the Labor government has invited someone who the ICC, leave alone what we know from our own eyes, but the International Criminal Court has said has incited genocide, and he sits at the very top of a genocidal state.
Indeed. And in terms of the visit, there's been some quite ugly mainstream media coverage, Ian, really painting protesters as demonic, you know, and demonising the protesters. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, they've been an extraordinary campaign, really. But I think it's of a piece with the whole way in which the media has been, you know, complicit, really, you know, selling genocide. Because they've tried to portray somehow the demonstrations as, you know, disrespectful about, you know, the people who lost their lives or the families that are grieving over the, you know, shootings at Bondi. Some have said directly that the Palestinian protests, you know, were responsible for what happened to Bondi, and the media's gone out of its way. In some cases, I mean, the Murdoch press, no surprise there, but it's been hysterical about the kind of, you know, allegations that it's levelled at the, at the Palestinian protest, and the kind of way it's tried to cast, you know, Palestinian protests as effectively terrorists. Demonic, deranged, terroristic. It's just incredible, really. But I think it's a sign of just how desperate they are. The vast, vast majority of people know what they see. It reminds me a lot of the way in which, you know, Trump tried to pretend that no one had actually been shot in Minneapolis. But, you know, too many people have seen it to believe the lies anymore. And that's why, in spite of what the media's done, and in part because of what the media's done, I think, people are very determined, you know, to be in the square, not just in Sydney, but right across Australia. People are going to be in demonstrations this afternoon to make that point. We know what we've seen. We know there's a genocide in Gaza, and we know the government not just is not doing anything about it, but is now deeply, deeply complicit to actually shake the hand of the president of the genocidal state. Is just simply extraordinary.
Exactly. Look, it's been really difficult, and I suppose I at this point, Ian, you know, I want, before we move on quickly to the speakers at the Sydney rally, I wanted to just have you alert listeners to a little bit of background leading up to all this, because one of the concerns that I have as a broadcaster is the way that a lot of this legislation and a lot of the laws that are coming through here is in many ways blocking dissent, particularly Palestinian protesters.
Yeah, look, it's very, very clearly, you know, designed to do that. Even with they made no pretense, you know, that the anti-protest laws that they put through, you know, their ability to have public assembly declarations is designed specifically for, you know, Palestinian protests. And even when, you know, they were attempting to ban Invasion Day, under that same legislation, they ended up excising Hyde Park so that we could assemble in Hyde Park and, you know, march from there to, you know, to Bell, you know, from there to Belmore Park. But to their credit, you know, I mean, everyone who's all the Invasion Day organisers made the same kind of point, you know, that we know that you're trying to ban the Palestinian demonstrations, and they made sure that, you know, solidarity with Palestine, opposition to the protest laws, was a feature of the Invasion Day rallies in Sydney. But look, it's very clear, you know, we've now got, you know, Queensland, New South Wales led the way, but Queensland looks like putting legislation through tomorrow to ban the chant about, you know, globalise the intifada and from, you know, the river to the sea. Specific legislation banning, you know, those slogans, the use of those slogans, publishing those slogans, distributing those slogans. The New South Wales government will probably do the same thing before the end of the month. I know your own premier down there is also attempting to do, you know, a similar kind of thing. And again, you know, the idea that somehow you can ban globalise the intifada. You can't ban people actually organising to globalise the intifada. That's what they're desperate to do, because they know just how complicit the state governments. Yeah, you know, I think there's Albert, it's got the connections within Melbourne, and there's others. You know, New South Wales, it's HP, and we've got Quickstep, I've forgotten the name of the other one, but there's two, you know, Quickstep actually manufactures F-35 parts. You've got factories in Victoria that similarly are involved in the F-35 chain. That means
the weapons.
That's right. The weapons. It means F-35s can bomb Gaza, and that's the degree of complicity, and that's the point they don't want us making. It is about Gaza, but it is about Australia's complicity in that. It is a part of that, and building the Intifada in Australia means putting a stop, to that complicity, a stop to the weapons, a stop to the manufacturing, a stop to using Pine Gap and the other, spy bases to provide the information that is actually used to, kill, Gazans in Palestine.
Exactly. I mean, because with the Do and Time show, it's about prisons, and this is about prisons ultimately, because in the end, anyone can go to prison.
Well, that's right. I mean, if they get their way, there will be people. I make the point. I mean, I was involved in the Right to March in Queensland, the big demonstrations in Queensland when Bjelke Petersen tried to ban the protest. People did go to prison, for marching, for demonstrating. To have a situation where you could actually end up in prison for saying globalise the Intifada, is extraordinary. That the government take those kinds of steps. And of course, the reality, the solidarity movement here is in solidarity with the 10,000, the 12,000 political prisoners that Israel holds. They've got hostages that rarely get a mention. The degree of the repression in Gaza is something that the movement internationally has to address.
Absolutely. And before you go, Ian, can you just tell us the speakers at the rally in Sydney?
Look, it's quite a spread now.
Roughly. Yeah.
No, one of the very good things is that there's going to be a Labor speaker and a Green speaker. A number of backbenchers have already broken with the Premier in New South Wales and said they are coming, and that's a very good sign. Similar thing what we saw, over the Harbour Bridge, the more dissent, in that regard is going to be good. We've got Paul Keating from the MUA is speaking. You've got Anthony Lowenstein, sort of an anti-Zionist, Jewish author, and extraordinary critic of Israel's genocide, will be speaking. You've got Palestinian speaking. So, there's a big spread of people, I think, to get the whole spread of, to get all the information about, why we need to keep fighting, why we need to keep organising to free Palestine, but also to, oppose the anti-protest laws and the attempts to stifle, the movement here.
And how do you wish to identify today?
look, I'm happy. I'm always with the Refugee Action Coalition, and that we're expecting, there will be more of an issue, I think, even though they talk about a ceasefire. There is no ceasefire in Gaza, an issue about actually, people from Palestine being able to get to Australia and, get refugee status here is an ongoing issue. So I'm happy to. I'm from the Refugee Action Coalition. I'm also active with, Stop the War in Palestine in Sydney.
Ian, thank you so much for coming onto the program, and take care.
Yep, thanks very much, Marissa. Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Good luck down there too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. And you just heard an interview with Ian Rintel from the Refugee Action Coalition, and he spoke quite a lot about the anti-protest laws in Sydney and spoke as well about the Israeli president's visit. It's approximately 4:42, and I'm going to be playing you a song now by Emma Donovan, and it's called I'll Shine On You. And you're listening to the Do and Time Show, 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial. And this is the beginning of Subscriber Week. Subscribe to 3CR, $80 for waged and $40 for unwaged. So we've just heard two interviews, one with David Glantz and one with Ian Rintel. And I'm going to be now reading out a short article before we end our show. And this article was actually written by Sydney criminal lawyers. Do Google them. They're pretty amazing and they've written some great stuff. And it's entitled Attempted Terrorism Attack at Boolaroo Perth, First Nations Rally Deplorably Downplayed. Now, this article was actually written before this was recognised as a terrorism offence. So this is all the lead up, and the article was written on the 30th of January 2026. A 31-year-old white man threw a homemade bomb into a crowd of 2,500 people at a Boolaroo Perth Invasion Day protest on 26 January 2026. And before I proceed any further, just letting you know that there is a content warning and that there are numbers you can call if this brings up stuff for you, or you can turn off the radio and turn it back on when it's over. The authorities then labelled the incident a potential mass casualty event. However, the targeted attack against First Nations peoples and their allies was subsequently treated like a trifle matter until public outcry resulted in a more serious approach. Racial tensions were on high this 26 January as anti-immigration white nationalist March for Australia rallies were being held alongside regular Aboriginal protests, which marked the date the British commenced the violent invasion of this continent. This act by the white man replicated the founding violence of the settler colonial nation, which goes in part to explain the lack of adequate action by the authorities. This scenario has played out repeatedly over the past 27 months of the Gaza genocide and the local moral panic around anti-Semitism that's accompanied it. Ongoing violence perpetuated against First Peoples has been downplayed, while that against others has not been. The starkest example of this was the neo-Nazi attack on First Peoples site Camp Sovereignty in Melbourne last August. The Boolaroo attack has all the hallmarks of a hate crime and a likely a terrorism offence, as a white man tossing a bomb at a First Nations protest on the controversial date, 26 January, was potentially politically motivated. This occurred during heightened tensions after the deadly 14th December 2025 Bondi Beach attack targeted Jewish people. The news of the attack on a First Nations event involving a potentially deadly device didn't break in the east of the continent until late on Tuesday, and after 48 hours of outcry, it was announced on Wednesday evening that the event is now being investigated as a potential terror incident, while the name of the suspect, who lives on Wedigu land in the Perth suburb of Warwick, has been withheld. Potential mass casualty event. The bomb incident occurred on Monday at 12:15 PM in Forest Place on the land in the Perth CBD. The man threw the bomb from the mezzanine area of the public square down into the Invasion Day crowd when well-known Noongar elder Herbert Brophy was speaking on the stage. The police identified and caught the assailant, although the device itself was not located initially. The explosive device consisted of a glass container filled with volatile chemicals, along with ball bearings and nails. Western Australian police considered that the man had attempted to light the fuse of the device, but that this had failed to ignite the bomb. If it had exploded, the metal pieces within the device would have served to maim and perhaps even kill bystanders. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese told a Garamilla Darwin press conference that the authorities should throw the book at the suspect. However, following the PM's theoretical passing of federal hate crime laws a fortnight ago, plus the determination to shut down extremism post-Bondi, the charges laid against the currently remanded man don't quite reflect the PM's sentiment. But after vocal public outcry about the disparities with which a targeted violent crime against First Nations people was being dealt with, it was announced that the Western Australian Joint Counter-Terrorism Team is now investigating the matter as a potential terror attack. And it's made up of WA police along with officers from the AFP and ASIO. Charges fail to reflect nature of crime. The individual who sought to maim and perhaps kill innocent strangers has been charged with two crimes. The first count is unlawful act with intent to harm under Section 304 of the Western Australia Criminal Code Amendment Act 2024, WA, which carries 2 years prison time and an $8,000 fine. The second is one count of making explosives in suspicious circumstances, contrary to Section 557 of the Criminal Code Act, Compilation Act 1903, WA, which carries up to 3 years jail and a $36,000 fine. These crimes represent the alleged criminal actions of the man now in police custody, but they likely do not reflect the targeted nature or intent of the crime. A hate crime is a criminal offence perpetuated against an individual or a group because of their identity. Producing a bomb and then attempting to explode it among a group of First Nations people and their allies during an event representing the concerns of Indigenous peoples over past and ongoing violent and racist behaviour suggests a hate crime, and such crimes carry steeper penalties. Under Australian law, a terrorist act is an act designed to progress a political, religious or ideological cause. This is achieved via violence or the threat of it, so as to intimidate the public or government to act in a certain manner. In terms of last Monday, 26 January, First Nations actions currently have much greater support than a decade ago, and an action against such an event has been, and would certainly be, if successful, perceived as an attempt to stymie this cause, which seeks to advance Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander rights, sovereignty and self-determination. Penalties for terrorism offences are much steeper than the criminal acts themselves, when there is no political, religious or ideological motivation behind them. Terrorism crimes already carry much harsher penalties than hate crimes. Not taken seriously, I just want to make a comment about the attempted bombing attack on Noongar Boonja country, otherwise known as Perth, on our day of mourning, on Invasion Day, said Senator Lydia Thorpe over social media last Wednesday. Clearly, this was an extreme act of violence, and luckily no one was hurt this time. But politicians are silent. When there is an attack on us, you don't hear from the politicians, the Gunai senator continued. You hear a little couple of words coming out of the Prime Minister's mouth, but nothing like what you see when there are attacks on other communities. Thorpe asserted that there needs to be a thorough investigation of the policing, the motivations behind the attacks, and the lacklustre response to it in general. She further suggested that there needs to be an approach to stamp out white supremacy in this country. Indeed, interpretation that can be read of the attempted bomb attack is that it sought to maintain white supremacy, she said. The 31st of August 2025 attack on Camp Sovereignty in Melbourne involved neo-Nazis unleashing violence upon people attending the sacred site. This was in the context of the assailants having just attended an anti-immigration rally, which aimed to uphold white supremacy right across this continent. Despite this overt hate crime in a time of rising white nationalism, the nature of the crime was overlooked. We have a very big problem with racists and neo-Nazis who are embolded every time something is not investigated or taken seriously, Thorpe made clear. Now our lives do matter. Black lives do matter in this country. The government doesn't think so. The politicians don't think so. And it doesn't seem the authorities think so, she said. If they did, the independent senator added in finishing, we would see action like we've seen after Bondi. We would see action, so why are our lives lesser than? We saw what happened at Camp Sovereignty, and still that was not considered a hate crime. So we need to see this government do more to stamp out racism in this country and to develop a framework that ensures that these attacks and racism, white supremacy, is not part of the fabric of this country. And that's the end of that article. It's 4:57. I'm out of here. Have a look more if you want to explore further what happened next. And it's goodbye from Marissa. Subscribe to 3CR. And Blackfella, Whitefella is up next with the song. And Climate Action is up next. Bye. Take care of each other. Kindness costs nothing.
or what you call her, as long as you a true fella, as long as you a real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it, we need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan? Black fella, white fella, yellow fella, any fella, it doesn't matter what you call her, as long as you a true fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter which religions, it's all the same when the ship is sinking. We need more brothers if we're to make it, we need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.